Help us just experience you maybe in a different way this morning than we've been experiencing you, Lord. Rekindle the fire, Lord, of love, deep love and intimacy with you, Lord. We love you, Lord, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Welcome. We're glad you're here this morning to worship with us. We're here. Our mission is to lead people to know God and to make him known. And so if you're a guest this morning, we're excited that you're here. If you brought a guest this morning, brought someone, we're proud of you for living out that mission of making him known. We're glad you're here. Even though, man, this morning, the rain last night, I was thinking I was going to have to build a boat because of the water. I live down a hill, so the water comes straight to my house. And I was thinking, oh, no. Thank goodness Marisa had the bright idea of having some sandbags, you know, up in the door. And so, you know, that's she had the idea. I got to give her the credit. I was just like befuddled. I was like, what do we do? I don't know. So I'm grateful for that. And speaking of Marisa, Marisa and I have now been married 16 years. Yep. Really excited. We gave each other gifts, excited that, you know, God has blessed us with so many years together, that God has brought us together 16 years ago, and that we're still just passionately in love with each other. I'm a blessed man. I really married up, you know. She had to marry me, and so I kind of got her down a little bit, but she at least bumped me up, and so. But as she's a strong woman. Yes, she is. Yes, to be married to me, she would have to be a strong woman. And so we started giving each other gifts as a result of our 16th year anniversary. And I gave her some gifts, and she gave me some. And she had this one that finally came in, and she said, well, I'm not sure if you're going to wear it, but I bought you a gift, and I hope you like it, but I'm not sure. I took a risk on this. And I said, well, what is it? And so she got me this shirt, you know, it says something pretty, pretty interesting. It says, never underestimate the power of an Elizondo, you know? So of course, for me, I was like, of course I'm going to wear it. I mean, yeah. So as soon as I got this, I started wearing it. You know, I wore it all day yesterday. I haven't even washed it. I'm probably going to wear it today. You know, this is going to be one of those shirts that, a couple of decades from now, I'm still going to be wearing it. It'll be super tight because the older you get, you start expanding and all sorts of areas, but I'll still wear it, you know. But I loved it. And the reason I loved it is because, you know, for me, I take great pride in my name. You know, I don't know if you take pride of your name, but I know I do. Our family actually takes pride in the Elizondo name. We take a lot of pride in that. As a matter of fact, not only do I take pride in my name, my dad takes a lot of pride in his own name. I still remember when we were growing up, my dad, finally the day had come, and I think he's had this conversation with every one of us, you know, my brother and my sister and myself, and it was one of those days, I still remember it. He had drank a little bit too much, and he was ready to talk with us, or to me, actually, and he said, let me tell you a story, Jesse. And I said, sure, Dad, what's going on? He said, I'm going to tell you a story that I hope you take to heart. I was like, what's that, Dad? He said, when I was 19 or 20 years old, you know, we had just come here to the U.S. with a worker visa, and I bought 3 tickets. This is the time, the late 70s, they lived in South Texas. He said, I bought 3 tickets for a bus ride to Houston. And the tickets were for your mom and your brother and myself. You weren't born yet. And we took a bus ride to Houston to meet a second cousin. And in that ride, I only had a dollar and some change in my pocket. And I met up with my second cousin there. He gave me a job in a cement company. And I started working from the very bottom of the totem pole. And so within a couple of months, I became manager of that company. Within a year, before a year was over, I owned my own cement company. And my dad was proud of that. He was proud of the fact that he came to the U.S. and he came to fulfill the American dream and that he was living the American dream. So he was proud of his name. And in the 80s hit, and for those of you who are old enough, in the 80s, we had the Great Recession. And so my dad and my family, at that point I was born already, we moved to South Texas, Mission, Texas. And the business didn't go too well. Actually, there was bankruptcy. My dad had to shut down the cement business. And then he got into a season in his life that he's not very proud of, that he rather forget that season in his life because he did some things that he shouldn't have done. But then he just kind of rekindled back his love for and his pride for his name, Elizondo name, and he started to build some homes. And next thing you know, he had built over 20 houses, and he had built a restaurant and a convenience store and many other businesses that he had started. And once again, he fell back to the sense of, I'm proud of my name. My dad knew many people of different socioeconomic status, of many different races, and my dad was a friend to many. He was a friend to many. He knew people that were plumbers. He knew people that were affluent. He knew people that were teachers. He knew the principals. He knew lawyers. He actually knew a lot of judges. He knew politicians and doctors. I still remember one day coming to the restaurant, which he just occasionally would go there, not because he had to work it, but because he enjoyed relating with people. And I remember this politician there talking with him. And I could see him just like it was yesterday. He was back in a table talking with him. And I didn't know who it was. And so later he said, he's a politician. He's running for office. And he just came to me because he wants me to support his campaign financially. Well, a couple months later, I remember my dad picking me up from the house and taking me to a voting booth. And he said, now you go in there and you vote for Kino Flores. And I sure did. I didn't know better. I was 18 years old. I didn't know what his platform was. I just knew dad said it, so I did it. But he was proud of what he had accomplished. The Elizondo name for him, it was synonymous with hard work and influence. He was proud of his name. I'm proud of our name. My dad was proud of the lineage as well, the Elizondo lineage. He would always often talk about my great-grandfather, who was an educator in Mexico. He was partially deaf. He was partially blind in one eye, and yet he taught in a region in Mexico, and he was very, very well known. And he would brag about his great-grandfather and how he was a teacher. And mind you, that my dad had a fifth grade education. My mom a seventh grade education. So when I say that he had accomplished the American dream, he did. And he was very proud of his great-great-grandfather. He would talk stories about him, how much he loved him, and how much the Elizondo name meant in that area. He would talk about the stories of how, you know, the parcels, there was a huge land that the Elizondos owned in Mexico that was given to either by nobility or by the king himself. And he was very proud of the Elizondo name. What is your name synonymous with? When you think about your name, you think about maybe not just your heritage or where you come from, but your name, you yourself. What is it synonymous with? What are you known for? What are you personally known for in this city? You know, we started a series 5 weeks ago that it's the Great Exchange. And the basic idea is that we got to exchange what we think is good for what we know is better. We got to exchange what we think is good for what we know is better. And for some of us, you may have a good name or maybe you have a bad name, but we've got to exchange a bad or a good name for a greater name. And there's a reason for that, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, but we've got to start exchanging the value of the name, not just have a good name, but have a great name. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1, I want you to go there with me. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1. King Solomon says this, a good name is more desirable than great riches. In other words, it's better to have a great name, to have a good name, than to have lots of money. To be esteemed is better than silver and gold, King Solomon said. I mean, we all want people, if you think about it, we all want people that serve us to have a good name, don't we? To be people of integrity. We all want that. We all desire that. We want our mechanic to be what? Honest, right? When our car breaks, you want to be able to go to the mechanic that is an honest mechanic. You know, we're looking for those honest mechanics. When we go to our doctors, we want our doctors to be excellent doctors and know what they're doing. When we go to a church and there's a pastor there, we want the pastor to be a man of integrity. When we go to the contractor, we want what? For the contractor not to cheat us, right? When we're looking for a teacher for our kids, we're looking for not just a good teacher, but a really good teacher. when we're looking for home health care for our parents or grandparents, what are we looking for? We're looking for somebody that's going to have the caring touch, don't we? See, a name is what you're known for. Let me ask you again, what are you known for? What are you known for? Are you known as the girl that gives it away way too quickly? Are you known as the girl that is breaking marriages? Are you known as the girl who's cheating? Are you known as the man who doesn't keep the promise? Are you the man who doesn't keep the commitment? Are you the kind of man that follows through or doesn't follow through? What kind of person are you? Because let me tell you something. Your actions stick to your name. Your actions stick to your name. And if you don't believe me, let me give you some examples here. And I want you to, you know, participate with me in this one. I'm going to mention a name, and I want you to give me one word of what you think when you hear the name. Adolf Hitler. Killer. Evil. Killer. Billy Graham. Wonderful. Martin Luther King, Jr. Peace. Osama bin Laden. Terror. When you hear a Mother Teresa, loving, compassion. When you think of Justin Bieber, many teenagers here is like, oh, did I hear a, oh, what? That's not a one-word answer. That's a sigh, women. That's a sigh. What do people hear when they hear your name? How do they respond? Is it here comes that gossip? Here comes that alcoholic? Here comes that womanizer? Here comes that deceiver? Or is it here comes that hard worker? Here comes the man who keeps his promises? Here comes the person that you want to be around with? What comes to mind when people think of your name? Let me give you a disclaimer this morning. And that disclaimer is this. A good name doesn't mean that you're perfect. A good name does not mean that you are perfect. It means you're being perfected by the one that is. It doesn't mean you're perfect. It means that you're being perfected by the one who is perfect. Again, a good name is more desirable than great riches, to be esteemed as better than silver or gold. What kind of name do we have? You know, the reality is this, and that is that we tend to give ourselves a good reputation even when we have a no good reputation. Let me say that again. We tend to give ourselves a good reputation even when we have a no good reputation. If you don't believe me in that one, just go to jail for one day. Actually, don't do it literally, but, you know, imagine the person that goes to prison. What are they thinking? Oh, yeah, he's good for it. You know, like, dude, you're in jail, but, you know, there's something good there. Right, we tend to give ourselves the benefit of the doubt, and we tend to give ourselves a greater name than we actually have. It is just natural. We all do that naturally. Whether you have a good name or not, we give that to ourselves naturally. We don't give that to others naturally, though. Have you noticed that? When we think about ourselves, you're like, yeah, I'm a good worker. But when we think about somebody else, we're like, oh, no, they're lazy. You know, it's like we have this kind of thinking that doesn't make sense, you know, because we tend to give ourselves a good name. I heard this story of these two ladies. Actually, Charlie told me this story. These two ladies that were at a church, and one of them was very, very positive, very positive. The other one was very negative. And so the very positive lady was always looking at the good parts of people. She would always say something good about someone. You know, the other lady would say, you know, what do you think of so-and-so? Well, you know, they're pretty good. And finally, the lady that was very negative said, you know, I see this tendency in you that you're always giving people, you know, something good about them, saying something good about them. I mean, I bet you I can find someone that you can't say a single good thing about. And so the positive lady says, well, try me. And so she looks at her and she says, the devil. You can't find anything good in the devil. So the lady thinks about it. She looks at her and she says, boy, isn't he a hard worker? You know, and so we tend to give this idea, as we do tend to give people a better or greater name than they actually possess. Even Satan is a good worker. It's about time, folks, that we change a good name for a great name. It's about time for us to start doing that. And I believe when we start doing that, we're going to start impacting the city like we've never impacted it before. We're going to see people transform in this city like we've never seen it before. We're going to see something historic in this city that we've never thought would be possible when we begin to exchange a good name for for a great name. So why is it important to have a good name? Here's a couple of reasons. The first one is this. A good name or a great name instills confidence. You see, when you have a good name, it instills confidence in yourself, but it also instills confidence in other people about you as well. When you have a good name. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9, it says, "The man of integrity or woman of integrity walks securely, but he who takes crooked paths will be found out." In other words, when you have integrity, when you have a good name, you can walk with confidence securely because you're not worried that you're going to be found out. You're not worried that so-and-so will find out such and such about your life. He's not or she's not hiding anything. That's the value of a good name, that you feel that confidence. You feel confident that you're living a life of integrity. You feel confidence when you talk with people. You feel securely, like the proverb says, you walk securely, confident. You got nothing to hide. This is the truth, and that is duplicity will destroy your confidence in yourself and the confidence that people have in you. When you pretend you're something you're not, when you're giving the impression that you're something that you're not, what happens in that situation is that you're not living up to who you really are. And it doesn't instill confidence in you. You're, as a matter of fact, you're being torn deep inside of you when that happens, doesn't it? When you don't live a life of integrity, it erodes that confidence. Nothing erodes confidence in you faster than having a bad name. Nothing erodes your confidence in you from other people or in yourself than having a bad name. The secret to confidence, let me tell you this, this is the secret to confidence. If you want to have the kind of confidence that when you do things, you're confident about it, you're confident about life, you're confident about what God is going to do, then the secret is this: have good character. Nothing to hide. Having a good name. And you will have confidence. It instills confidence. A good name, number two, speaks for you. A good name speaks for you. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 1. Here we find King Solomon, and we saw King Solomon a couple of weeks ago when we first started this series, when he was given the option of praying, right, for something, having a wish come true for himself. He prayed to God, and he said, "God, give me the wisdom to lead." That was his prayer. And this is what it said of him in 2 Chronicles 9:1. It says, "When the queen of Sheba heard of Solomon's fame, she came to Jerusalem to test him with hard questions." Pause there for just a moment. So here you have it. This queen from a different country has heard of the fame of King Solomon. And she decides, "I'm going to go and ask him tons of questions." Tons and tons of questions. Can you imagine that? There's no forewarning. There's no, "Hey, here's a list of the things I'm going to ask you." No, no, no. On the fly, he's going to have to answer all these questions. His fame has gone before him. The fame of being wise, to be a wise leader. And here comes this queen from a different country, and she's going to put him to the test. She came to Solomon and talked with him about all she had on her mind. In other words, no, she didn't put anything behind. She was going to ask anything that came to her mind. She was going to ask it. This is a queen, folks. This is not just anybody. This is a person of influence in a different country saying, "I want to see this man and I want to ask him all the questions. I want to see what kind of wisdom he has. I want to see what kind of advice he can give." In verse 5, she said to the king, I love this. It says, "The report I heard in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom is true." Folks, this is, I don't know if you noticed this, but this is the time before Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat. The teenagers are like, "Oh, you got it wrong." Snapchat. This is the time before Instagram, and all of a sudden, a different country, they know about him. How would they have heard about him? This is amazing. In a world of no social media, everyone knows about him, his achievements and his wisdom. She says, "It's true, but I did not believe what they said until I came and saw with my own eyes." She said, "I didn't believe it. I heard so much about you, King Solomon, but I didn't believe it, you know? I thought it was just a fairy tale. I just thought, maybe he is the wisest man alive, but I'm not quite sure. And now he meets him and she finds out he is the wisest man alive. And it says, indeed, not even half. How much? Half. Say it with me. How much? Half. Not even half of the greatness of your wisdom was told me. You have far exceeded the report I heard. Isn't that amazing? It wasn't even close. Like, she had heard so much about him, and the fame of him went before him, and not even half of it. Not even half of it. It wasn't even the tip of the iceberg. It far exceeded anything she had heard. Have you ever met someone before you met them? Have you ever met someone before you even met, before you knew that person, before you actually shook hands with that person, before you ever said hello or nice to meet you, my name is so-and-so? Have you ever met someone that you had already met before because their fame preceded them, or their character, their name preceded them? This is what's going on here. You know, all the names that I mentioned earlier, they didn't mean anything when they were given. They had no meaning when they were given. But now they speak for themselves. In other words, when Adolf Hitler was born, mommy wasn't like, oh, Adolf Hitler. Oh, she probably was like, oh, mijo, come over here. You know, let me burp you, right? You know, I got Adolf Hitler right here. The name meant nothing until he grew up. Because you see, your character makes the name. It's not the name that makes the character. Did you get that? Your character is what makes the name. It's not the name that makes the character. Doesn't matter what name you have. That doesn't make your character. It's what you do that makes your name. It's the choices that you're making in life. Right choice after 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 right choice makes a good name. But when you have wrong choice, right choice, wrong, 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 right, wrong, wrong, right, wrong, 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 what kind of name do you think you're going to have? Because ultimately, your character makes the name. It's not the name that makes the character. And for many of us, we've made so many bad choices in life that we have landed in a place of not having a good name. Instead of making consistent right choices, I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3. It says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Love and faithfulness. Why? Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. So King Solomon is saying, hey, work on these two things. Love on people and be faithful to your commitments to people around you. Do these two things and you're going to gain yourself a good name and favor with God and with the people around you. Isn't that the truth? When you meet somebody that is a loving person, that treats you with respect, but it's also faithful when they say they're going to do something and actually do it, they gain fame, a good reputation, a good name, and they get favor from God and man. Who knows? Maybe one day you will have to rely on a good name to defend your name. You never know when you will have to rely on your existing name to defend you. And here I speak from experience, obviously. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where something was said about you, something that was not true, or something that was skewed, you know, it wasn't just right, it was kind of distorted, and you were like, okay, what's going to happen? This is where it's important, folks, that you make consistent choices over a long series of time, because one day, your name will be put to the test. I guarantee it. One day, someone will question your name. And if you have a life that is consistently lived out with poor choices that have built a bad name, when that happens, guess what's going to happen when people hear what is being said about you? They're going to see your history and they're going to say, well, I mean, it's very true. It's very possible. I mean, we know his history or her history. But what happens when you make consistently good choices over a long period of time and then something comes up, what will people do? They will look at your history and say, well, wait a minute, that doesn't match up with what he or she is or what they've done in the past. And let me show you that in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Peter understood this very, very well, and there was a lot at stake, and what was at stake was the gospel, this idea of having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. He knew what was at stake, and he says, be careful to live properly. This is 1 Peter 2:12. To live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then, even if they accuse you, if they do what? Accuse you. Say it with me. If they do what? They accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior, and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. He's saying that that day when it comes, when you somebody lands an accusation, they will look at your past. They will look at your past. Will your past uphold the test of an accusation? Thirdly, a good name opens doors for the gospel. A good name opens doors for the gospel. I want you to go to Acts chapter 16, verse 12. This is the disciples, they're walking along, they're sharing their faith. And in chapter 16, verse 13, it says, on the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the woman who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. Pause there for just a moment. This is very, very, very important. In that time period, women did not own businesses. Women did not lead. Women had their place at home, and that's it. But here's this woman, Lydia, who is a widow, and she is a leader in her community. He is a God worshiper. She has a good name in her community. And I want you to see what happens when as a result of having a good name, what happens to her family. It says, the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and her members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. So here what we see is that Lydia, because she had a good name, because she was a woman of integrity, she was a woman of character, because she had over a long period of time made consistently good choices, wise choices, and she had built herself a good name, she was able, not only when she received Christ as her forgiver and leader, she was able to introduce Jesus to the people around her, her family. And they too were able to find Christ because of a good name. You see, when you have a good name, you may lead your employees to know Jesus. When you have a good name, you may lead your students, teachers, your students to know God. Students, you may lead your teachers to know God. You may lead your coworkers to know God because of a good name. You know, a good name is really, really important, and we all know the value of a good name, don't we? We know that value. You know, we see that the value of it. We see it when we saw it this past week, actually, as we were registering over 200 students. And after we registered over 200 students, you know what we thought? We thought, man, how are we going to get some coaches? And you know, the question we were asking as a core group of people that were organizing this, you know what we were asking? We weren't asking who has soccer skills, you know, so they can teach the kids. We were asking who's got a good name. Who's the person of integrity that we can trust? Who's the person that we can trust that they're credible and they're gonna lead well? And see, that's the value of a good name. For those of you who have kids who are meeting the teachers this week, and some of you have younger kids, what did you do? you were thinking of the teacher, right? You were thinking, who's the teacher that's going to have my child? And you were thinking, who is she or who is he? And does she or he have a good name, right? You were doing that. Let me give you a surprise for those of you who are parents and have little kids. The teachers were doing the same thing about your kid. Because when they got that list, and I know this because Marisa used to be a teacher, a middle school teacher. And so what they do, the teachers, is they get that list and they go to the grade before them and they ask, you know anything about this child? And they're like, oh, yes. Buckle up, Susie. You know, you better watch out. Or they're like, oh, no, that's a good kid. That's a good name. Because there's value in a good name, isn't there? There's a value there that is placed. But there's more value in the name of Jesus than your even personal name. There's more value in the name of Jesus than even our name. Which leads me to point four, which is a good name reflects God's great name. A good name reflects God's great name. I want you to go to Ezekiel chapter 36. I want to show you there. It says, chapter 36, verse 21, it says, I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel profaned among the nations where they had gone. So here you have God, and God is saying, hey, I was concerned about my holy name. In verse 22, it says, therefore, say to the house of Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It is not for your sake, O house of Israel, but I am going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name. In other words, God is saying, I'm going to do something unique, something special, something great, and it's not going to be because of your name. It's going to be because of my name. God has great value in his name. But for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone, I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them, then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I show myself holy through you before their eyes. He's saying, hey, I understand that you, the people of Israel at that time, saying, I understand that you don't have a good name. You've been profaning your name. You have been profaning my name as a result. But guess what? Your name is insignificant compared to my name. The Elizondo name is peanuts compared to the name of God. And he's saying, I want to use you. I want to use you to declare and expand my name and the glory of my name to the people around you. I want you to look to the person next to you. I want you to tell that person, God wants to use you. I want you to do that right now. That's true. God wants to use you. I don't know what kind of name you have. Whether it's good, great, or man, it's a horrible name. But guess what? No matter what category you're in, God wants to use you to bring fame to his name. To bring fame to his name. To bring glory, weight to his name. What matters most to God is his name. There's a greater name than your own name, and that's the name of God. But what so fascinates me about this passage is this. This is what fascinates me about this passage. God has staked his reputation. Listen. God has staked his reputation on your name. Take a moment to feel the weight of that. That God has staked his reputation on the way that we conduct ourselves. He has staked his reputation on our name. That's weighty. I get chills just thinking about it. Because guess what? Because I don't feel worthy. I don't feel worthy that God, the God of the universe, would say, Jesse, I'm going to stake my name, my reputation on your name. Because I know, as well as you know, that there have been moments and times and seasons in our lives when we don't live in such a way that reflects his good name. Are you with me? That can be said of all of us, every one of us. And so for God to say, hey, listen, I'm going to stake my name on the Church of Jesus Christ. And by the Church of Jesus Christ, I mean the people. I'm going to stake my name on that. How are we doing, folks? How are we doing? What are we doing with his name? Now, this is why it's important. You might be thinking, you know, why would God do that? Why would God get so offended? Why would he get so offended when I don't live a life that's congruent or compatible to the kind of life he's called me to live, you know? Why does he get so offended if I don't have a good name? And the reason is this, and you'll be able to relate to this if you have kids, is because, for example, when your kid does something that is really, really dumb, which I'm sure hardly ever happens, but when they do something that really embarrasses you, why does it embarrass you? It embarrasses you because they're representing your name, doesn't it? I'm not going to say which one of my kids did this, but I'm going to say it wasn't Caleb because he's here. It wasn't Caleb. But many years ago, when we first started this church, we did a baptism. And we were at Phil and Pierre McLean's house doing our first baptism. And we were like, man, this is going to be great. This is going to be awesome, you know, baptism. And so people were gathering. There was food. A whole bunch of people were coming. And we were getting ready. I was near the pool already, getting ready. And at the corner of my eye, I see one of my kids. And, you know, I just see this. And I just see, I'm like, oh my goodness. That spot is going to be yellow. And everybody is seeing it. And everybody was just glued. I'm like, put your shorts back up. Lock him up. He's not mine. I don't know how he got here. I don't know. I have no idea. But at that moment, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what's going on here? Because he represents a name, right? And in the same token, we represent God's name. And there are moments in time when he's looking at us and he's thinking, what are you doing, you knucklehead? Like, are you sure you want to do that? Because you're representing me, you know? And guess what? He still loves us for that. He doesn't disown us. Just like we don't disown our kids. Just like we don't say, oh, he's not mine. Yeah, he's mine or she's mine, you know? In the same way, God stakes his reputation on us. And even when we fail, listen, even when we fail, which we all do, he still embraces us. He says, I love you. You're my son and you're my daughter. And you may not be living a lifestyle that is worthy of my name, but it's okay. I love you. You might be here this morning, you might be thinking, well, how do I redeem myself? How do I begin the process of having a good name? Maybe you've just trashed your name and you want a fresh start. Let me give you two suggestions. The first one is this. Perfection is not the answer. Repentance is. Perfection is not the answer. Repentance is. Let me tell you why. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. You are a new person in Jesus Christ. And the answer is not for you to try and be perfect. That's not the answer because you're going to fail. Trust me, you're going to fail. The answer is to repent, is to say, I'm sorry, God. I messed it up. Guess what? All of us are going to be there at some point or another. We're going to be going to God saying, I am sorry, God. Every one of us, we're going to misrepresent God at some point. And it's saying, God, I am sorry, Lord. And second suggestion is this. You are creating tomorrow's legacy today. Today. As you being able to say, today I start afresh. Today I start new. Today is a new day. I want you to say it with me. Today is a new day. Today is a new day. Say it with me again. Today is a new day. If you're here this morning and you're like, you know what? I have a bad reputation. Today is a new day. You can start today. You can start today. And allow now God to help you make the wise choices over a long period of time so you can have the kind of name that reflects God's holy, perfect name. Your prayer might be something like this. Lord, give me the wisdom to know what is right and the courage to do it. I find myself praying that prayer often. Let me say it again. Lord, give me the wisdom to know what's right and the courage to do it. Because it's one thing to know what is right. It's one thing to know the wisdom and the right choice you ought to make, but it takes an immense amount of courage to actually do it, doesn't it? And the more opportunities we have to make the courageous decision to do the right thing, the more we begin to establish a name and that God can use to reflect his holy and great name. Let's pray. Lord Father, we thank you so much. And that is our prayer this morning. Lord, give us the wisdom to know what's right and the courage to do it.
Hi, this is Jesse, lead pastor for Two Rivers Bible Church. Our mission is to lead you to know God and to make him known. Our desire is that every man, woman, and child would have that opportunity. Our dream is that we could take a picture of heaven and represent it here on earth in the diversity that we're able to reach. Our hope is that you too could partner with us by sharing this message to your closest unchurched friends and family.